News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
All right, you're very welcome back. If you want to get in touch with us as ever, the numbers are the same, 53106 by text, or you can always tweet us at Off the Ball. It's Thursday night, which means it's time for Thursday Night Football with John Giles. John, good evening to you.
Evening, Jack.
So let's start with Spurs at the weekend and Maurizio Pochettino. He's had a fairly interesting week where he responded to some comments which were allegedly made by Xavi about Dele Alli. He came out very strongly against them, and then, well, it turns out Xavi didn't actually make those comments. They were apparently made up.
Well, even if he had made them, Jack, I read the papers this morning and I thought his response was very, very childish, to say the least. He said he's an enemy of mine, and he was when he was a player when we played against each other and that, you know. I thought it was very childish to respond in that way. I mean, I thought what he was supposed to have said was that Guardiola was interested in Dele Alli and that he was working on his behalf.
Yeah.
But Xavi's entitled to, if he did say it, he's entitled to his opinion on that. But I think he should have just dismissed the remark, instead of making a big deal about calling his enemy and that, to say, look, he's under contract to us and that there's no chance of Manchester City buying him. And that's the end of it.
He's going to have to get used to everybody talking about Dele Alli, because he's been such a sensation really since November, to the point where, you know, you would not be surprised if somebody offered 100, 130 million in the summer.
Well, I'd be surprised if they offered 130 million, Jared, to be honest. I think he's a very, very promising player. He's got wonderful ability, there's no, and he's only a young fella, Jack, but he needs to control himself at times during the match. You know, his discipline at times is poor, and he's got to get control of that. And what I saw in the paper again a couple of weeks ago, he said that I won't take out that will to win from my character when I get on the pitch. Well, nobody asked him to take his will to win away, Jack. What he should be asked to do is just don't do silly things and get your discipline right on the pitch, or else you'll be, because he's been sent off a couple of times. And a few matches I've seen him in, he's been very lucky not to be booked or to be sent off, Jack. But he is a terrific talent, and there's no doubt that at his age, I'd say Manchester City and many other clubs would be interested in him. But he has signed a 3 or 4 year contract, I think, with Spurs.
Yeah, Spurs have pretty much locked down almost all. There's a couple of their defenders still haven't signed long term deals, and there's speculation surrounding those. But most of their best young players have, over the last year or so, all signed up.
Yeah, but that's sometimes that doesn't mean anything, Jerry. You know, if his agent is working for him, and we've seen it in the past, and from what I can see at Spurs and what's in the papers anyway, Jerry, is they don't pay them so much money.
No.
I think Dele Alli was improved, his contract was improved to, you know, 40 grand. I know it's a lot of money, but in the football terms at the moment. And Harry Kane was on, I think, was 50 grand at a time, even the last couple of years. I think he's gone up a bit recently. But he signed for like 50 grand when he was leading goal scorer in England and playing the England team and that. So whoever's doing the negotiations for Spurs, they're doing a blooming good deal for it. But that can bite them as well, because if the players suddenly realise I'm not up there with the top earners, then they could ask for a transfer or insist on moving.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe the right thing to do is a little bit of what Spurs are doing, but actually just pay them that bit more to stave off those conversations where somebody isn't whispering, you know, you're getting a quarter of what Sergio Aguero is getting. Is he really four times better than you?
Yeah, well, exactly. I think Levi is a good negotiator, but you know, definitely a couple of years ago, I think Harry Kane wages were improved like from up to 50 grand.
Mm.
But this is at a time when, was it Adebayor played with Spurs there?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. He was on at least 100 to 150 grand, and he didn't kick a ball for them. Yeah. So I think if you play, rather than take advantage, if he was taking advantage, be fair with the player, and then there would be no resentment later on, where he would insist on going because he's been conned into it. And that can happen. And Dele Alli might be the same. I think Dele Alli, as I saw last year, his contract was 40 grand a week, Jack.
Yeah. So if you're Spurs, are you thinking that this is the beginning of a brilliant team, or are you prepared just that one of these players will get sold and you hope that the manager can bet in whatever replacements they buy?
Well, well, that could be a policy as well. We don't know. But what we do know from Spurs in recent times with selling Bale and things like that, they're not shy about selling the players and getting the financial rewards in. I mean, obviously, the best thing I think to do is be fair with the players and keep them, Ger. And I think in the long run, you actually make more money from it than you do in selling them for a certain price.
Mm.
But that could be the policy at Spurs. We don't know. I mean, they have sold quite a few before, and I think the problem with Spurs in the past is they've sold and haven't given the manager the authority to buy in with the money that they made. Yeah. I mean, they made some over the years some really bad signings. They made a few good ones as well. But if you look at Kane and Dele Alli, I mean, I think they bought Dele Alli for $5 million, and Harry Kane is a local lad. It's the other players that they spent big money on that didn't prove to be successful for them.
Even last summer, they spent almost $30 million on Sissoko, who can barely get a game at the moment.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure Pochettino actually bought him. I wouldn't be too sure about it. I think there's always been that policy at Spurs where they don't have a director of football now, but they used to. So I think Levy would be very influential on who comes in, rather than leaving it totally to the manager to do that job.
Yeah. The comments that Pochettino made after the game against Chelsea at the weekend, I know that was something that you weren't too impressed by either.
No, I was amazed at it. I mean, what he said, I'm proud of the players. You know, they played brilliantly, and 2 years ago they wouldn't have been allowed to play this way. But this was a match, Jared, that I don't think he did a good job on it. First of all, tactically, he played Son at left back to play as a wing back. As we know, he gave the penalty away, but he's just not a left back, and I think he paid too much heed or too much respect to Chelsea rather than getting on with his own job. In fact, they lost the match pretty well at a time where I think it could have been a psychological blow to Chelsea had they beat them in that particular game. But Chelsea have marched on from that now. They got another good win the other night. But I think that was a lost opportunity, and I definitely couldn't understand his comments after the match where he was delighted with the players and, you know, the progress they've made. I mean, they should be challenging Chelsea now.
Is that just a situation where you get outgunned by Antonio Conte, who doesn't appear on the face of it to pick his strongest team? He leaves Eden Hazard on the bench, he leaves Costa on the bench, and the game's gone fine. The two lads come on, Fabregas plays really well as well, and it's just the experienced manager there has completely done him.
Yeah, I think when in his position, the Spurs manager going into the match, Jared, I mean, they could have struck a real blow by beating Chelsea in that particular game, but it seemed to be concentrating on what Chelsea were doing rather than them. And when he left, I mean, to be fair, in Conte, I couldn't understand the Hazard on the bench. Costa hasn't been playing well. That was understandable. But why would he leave Hazard out in a big match like that? I mean, Hazard didn't. It wasn't his fault that he didn't play well the week before. He was man marked very well against the Manchester United team, who were by far the better team on the day. So it wasn't the case that he didn't try Hazard. It's just he was man-marked particularly well and had a poor game, as most of the Chelsea players did. So I can't understand why he left them out in such an important game. I know they're going for the league, but the semi-final of the cup, and it proves when Hazard came on, I think he scored a goal and made a goal, didn't he?
Played really well, yeah.
You know, so it's tactics gone mad at times, I find, in football.
Yeah, although I like the Chelsea fans will argue that it's a masterstroke because it worked.
I mean, the winner can always be right, yeah. You know, who won the battle? Pochettino left a couple of players out. He put Son at left back. He left Hazard out. Then Hazard come on and scored. It depends what way you look. Say they had been beaten and Hazard had come on and scored a goal and made a goal. People say, well, he should have been on from the start of the game. Of course, when you win the match, all your tactics are right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to try and get as much common sense into it. But Hazard, I found it extraordinary that he'd be left out of that particular match.
What did you think of the rest of the Chelsea performance in the game?
Oh, very good. Very good. You know, they were by far the better team. I thought they played really well. And they played well again the other night in a match that, you know, Southampton match. Yeah. They were back on form. Costa scored a couple of goals. And you know, it seems to be back on form, and Hazard was outstanding again the other night. So Chelsea, I think they've had a couple of bad results, but they've responded well when the semi-final of the cup was a big response.
Yeah.
And I think the other night against Southampton was a big response for
him. I wonder if Pochettino's comments after the game were out of frustration, because that was really a big chance, as you say, to land that psychological blow, given Chelsea had a bit of a blip, and he just felt that, look, this is gone now for them, really.
Yeah, but the team he picked, though, Ger, wasn't a confident team to really get at Spurs. I mean, if you pick one of your forwards, which is Son, to cope at left back, you mean he gave the penalty away? It's just not a left back. And it seemed to me that he was paying too much respect, actually, to Chelsea in a match where I think he should have been going for them.
Mm. Because that was the chance to...
I think it was a big chance. A semi-final of the Cup, you know, they just had a bad result. Chelsea really get at them and shake them up. And Chelsea come out with flying colours. You know, a good result, and in the final of the FA Cup, I think it was getting them back on track after the bad Manchester United performance. And I think Pochettino let them off the hook there.
Okay. What about the Arsenal-Manchester City game? We've been on Arsene Wenger's case all season. Has he turned things around finally?
Well, it's amazing how it goes, Ger. I mean, he hasn't suddenly performed a miracle. It's the way football goes. I mean, he's been getting terrible stick and abuse from a lot of the fans at Arsenal. But when you saw their faces after the semi-final win, I'd say if Wenger was there, they'd be hugging him and kissing him. And that's the way the game is. I mean, he's had a bad time. Arsenal have had a bad time. But if they could win the cup, they could still win the cup, Jan, and still finish in the top four. If he does that, will the critics stop criticising him and let him get on with the job again? You know, I'm only saying how quickly it changes in football, how the sentiments of the supporters. I mean, they were absolutely delighted with themselves because they weren't expected to win, and now they're going to Wembley again. So Wenger has become a sort of hero again, Jeff.
Yeah, he's won 6 FA Cups. If he wins this, it'll be 7. It'll be 3 in 4 years if they win this.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It's not bad.
That's the thing. It's just that there's so many performances, pardon me, over the season where they're spineless and they don't put it in, they don't put the effort in, they don't have the energy and commitment that they showed against Manchester City. That must be the most frustrating thing for everybody.
Yeah, well, I think the big thing was nobody expected them to win, myself included. I thought City would win, and definitely the Arsenal supporters wouldn't have expected to win. So it was a big bonus for them. And getting to Wembley for the supporters, Jared, is still a huge deal. So he wouldn't be as big a villain as he was before the match, after that game. So you never know how things can change in football.
Mm.
And that could be a dramatic thing. I mean, they could go on and win the cup now. And would they be complaining if they did finish in the top four? They'd say, well, it hasn't been too bad after all, you know, to win a trophy and get into the Champions League again. It's just how quickly it can change. Because looking at their faces after the semi-final, there was no criticism of Wenger at all.
Yeah. What's the truth? Where are Arsenal?
Well, you know, they say anybody can win the cup at any given year, Jared. And I think that's proven to be the case in Arsenal's case in the last 2 years, that they weren't playing so well towards the end of the season, but they still won the cup. I only can talk, if I were in his position, I would finish at the end of the season, yeah. But that's only me looking from the outside. He's 67 now. And he's taken an awful lot of abuse, and I don't think it's ever worth that personal abuse that he's getting after the great job he's done at Arsenal. I think if he won the cup to finish on that note, and he'd finish as a success, and he'd be finishing on his own terms. But there again, that's only my opinion. He's obviously a football fanatic. He's 67, and what we can see from all the signs is that he does want to continue. Yeah, and if that's the case, well then, you know, if he does get abuse in the future, well then he knows what he's in for.
Yeah. I wonder if he's thinking, though, that he has to change this summer and spend money and build that squad.
Yeah, that could be the case as well. I mean, he could finish up winning the cup. He could finish in the top four. And he might be saying to the board at Arsenal, right, the money we have is reportedly have 200 million. I'm going to make a clean sweep here. I'm going to get rid of quite a few players and I'm going to start from scratch again. Now, he's never done that before. He's never had, I don't think he's ever had to, or he was he couldn't he didn't have the money to spend over the years, in some of the years, Jerry, because they were building the new stadium. But that stadium has gone on, and he apparently has $200 million in the bank, and he hasn't spent it. He has spent a fair bit of money, and they haven't been great successes. But he could say to the board, right, I'm starting again now from scratch, and you have to go with me on this. And I'd say that they would. I'm going to spend the $200 million, I'm going to get different players in, and here we go again. So I think the supporters would stand for that as well. If you saw him spending a lot of money with a new team,
yeah,
I think what would they get upset about if they started with the same team again, having had a poor end to the season? That's when I think that's what's happened with the Arsenal supporters. It's like, here we go again. It's happened for a few years.
Yeah. Every season it's like it's Groundhog Day.
Yes.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. We will talk about Liverpool, we'll talk about Pep Guardiola, and anything else that anybody wants us to talk about. We can take your text now on 53106. Right back after these.
News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
All right, 53106, the text number. If you want to get in touch, tweet us here at Off the Ball. John Giles is with us this Thursday evening. Jurgen Klopp is also going through a bit of a sticky patch at the moment. Big Sam was absolutely delighted to explain to us how easy it was for him to exploit the defensive weaknesses in the aftermath of the game. Big Sam certainly talked a good game and his team played a good game.
Yeah, well, I think Klopp will be under more pressure than any of the managers, yeah, including Wenger, because he's losing poorly against what would regard as the weaker teams, including last weekend. And again, corner kick. Now, that's been happening all season, yeah. And I think as well, I mean, the fellow that scored two goals was Benteke last weekend. Mm. And Benteke, he couldn't stand Benteke at all, actually. I remember him abusing him coming off the pitch at Southampton over something he did or didn't do. And he couldn't seem to take him at all because I don't think he did the go-go game that he expects the forwards to do. But the thing was, he was scoring goals, yeah. And sometimes you have to live with that. You know, if he's not doing as much running as the others, but he's scoring the goals, then he's making up for it. I think it's been, if it keeps going the way it's going, I think he could be under more pressure than anybody else.
Yeah. He has definitely suffered more than most of the other top teams from an injury schedule. And before the season, there were concerns about whether or not that was something to do with the intensity of the way the team play and the way the team train. Maybe it's pure coincidence. I don't know. But it's certainly worth it. Their injury profile has been worse than other teams and it has cost them dearly.
Yeah. Well, he does play that go-go game, which is, there's more intensity in his game, I think, it demands of the players than a lot of other managers, Jer. But at the same time, it's not intensity that's given goals away from corner kicks and free kicks. And that's been their biggest problem, dear. If you look at their goals against, Jer, particularly, you know, corner kicks and free kicks, even last week against Crystal Palace, it was the same. I mean, there's been no sort of plan or discipline about their defending. You know, there doesn't seem to be any priority on defending. It seems to be, okay, we get the ball, we attack.
Yeah.
But you can't keep giving goals away like that. I mean, I saw the goal against Crystal Palace last week. Terrible. Terrible stuff. And if you look at their goals against, particularly from set pieces, you just can't do well, Jared, by giving goals away as often as they have done.
Yeah, they've conceded 20 goals more than Spurs have this season.
Yeah, yeah, and probably similar to Chelsea. And, I mean, that's not the intensity or the injury problem that's come from, Jared. That's just bad organisation, whether he doesn't prioritise defending, which you have to do. You can't keep losing goals like that. And they've given far too many away.
Yeah. John, Guardiola beaten at the weekend. Obviously, there's going to be no trophy in his first season. As things stand at the moment, they're just a point clear of Manchester United heading into this game tonight. Yeah. They're in the fourth qualifying position for the Champions League. It's possible both City and United do overtake Liverpool and maybe they both make it that way. But it hasn't been straightforward. It hasn't been easy for him.
For Guardiola?
Yeah.
No, well, first season, Jer, there were matches where they played absolutely brilliantly. But again, an inconsistency in the City team. You know, you've got to give him another couple of windows to really put his stamp on it, in my opinion. There are signs that he's done well, but there will be signs that he was very naive as well. We had the goalkeeper playing out from the back, for example. No emphasis on defence either. At times it looked great, and at other times it didn't look very, very good at all. But I wouldn't give up on him yet, Jerry. You know, he's only been through one window. I think the team was getting older anyway, so you'd have to live with him a bit more, or a bit longer, to give him a chance to get two windows, I would say. And after that, this time next year, we can really make our mind up about him.
Yeah, have there been those moments where the team have played really well? Has that been enough to kind of think, okay, there's definitely the bones of a really good team here?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously he has his own philosophy on the game. Again, there's no real emphasis on defence either. But I think when there were certain matches, I think it was West Ham away, well, a few matches, doesn't matter, where they were absolutely brilliant and played better than anybody else. But again, a lack of consistency, particularly at the back. He's got to strengthen that up, Ger. And I think he's got to get rid of this foolishness. I think he has a lot from playing out from the back with the goalkeeper, taking too many risks. I think he's not doing that as much as he did at the start of the season. I think he will make improvements in the summer. So there were certain games where it was very promising, and then there were other games in recent times where it hasn't been so good. So it's been a pretty mixed season for him.
Yeah.
But not good enough for the City supporters.
All right, we didn't get a chance to talk about Mourinho tonight, but I guess he's pretty happy with how things are going at the moment for his team.
Well, they're going better than they are for Guardiola. I mean, he is in the Europa Cup. He's been unbeaten in it. I think he's got a lucky break, which we might discuss next week, Jer, with the Ibrahimovic injury, which bring Rashford and a bit of pace up front. And that sounds strange because Ibrahimovic is the leading goal scorer. But I think it's good for Ibrahimovic the way he's played and the way he's scored, but not good for the team, Jer.
Yeah. And definitely the pace of Rashford and Martial,
yes,
both playing tonight. They're actually a much more dangerous team when it looks like, I think so. And especially with Rashford through the middle.
Yes, definitely. Because when Ibrahimovic, he's been on the left or right. Lingard also has a bit of pace. Martial, as he showed at the weekend. I mean, if you go back to the goals he scored at the weekend, Martial, they wouldn't have scored that goal with Ibrahimovic. And the Rashford goal the week before, Jer, against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Like the first goal, they wouldn't have scored that either. So I think it's been very, very good for Ibrahimovic, and you've got to give him credit for scoring the goals. But I think without him, they'll win more matches.
All right, John, we leave it there. Great stuff tonight. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Jer.
John Giles with us every Thursday night here on Off the Ball. Manchester United and Manchester City are on the pitch at the Etihad this evening. We're going to be talking about that game across the rest of the 2 hours. Keith Andrews is with us all night tonight, all the way through to the end of the football show. We've also got Graham Hunter coming up between 9 and 10 as well. If you want to talk to us here, 53106 is the number to text. You can tweet the show at Off the Ball.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.